Miss Gilchrist pulled her black hat firmly down on her head and tucked in a wisp of grey hair. The inquest was set for 12 o'clock, and it was not quite 11:20. Her grey coat and skirt looked quite nice, she thought, and she had bought herself a black blouse. She wished she could have been all in black, but that would have been far beyond her means. She looked round the small, neat bedroom, and at the walls hung with representations of Brixham Harbour, Cockington Forge, Anstey's Cove, Kyans Cove, Polflexen Harbour, Babbicombe Bay, etc., all signed in a dashing way, Cora Lanskene. Her eyes rested with particular fondness on Polflexen Harbour. On the chest of drawers, a faded photograph carefully framed represented the Willow Tea Shop. Miss Gilchrist looked at it lovingly and sighed. She was disturbed from her reverie by the sound of the doorbell below. "Dear me," murmured Miss Gilchrist, "I wonder who—" She went out of her room and down the rather rickety stairs. The bell sounded again, and there was a sharp knock. For some reason Miss Gilchrist felt nervous. For a moment or two her step slowed up, then she went rather unwillingly to the door, adjuring herself not to be so silly. A young woman, dressed smartly in black and carrying a small suitcase, was standing on the step. She noticed the alarmed look on Miss Gilchrist's face and said quickly, "Miss Gilchrist, I am Mrs. Lanskene's niece, Susan Banks." "Oh, dear, yes, of course. I didn't know. Do come in, Mrs. Banks. Mind the hall stand, it sticks out a little. In here, yes. I didn't know you were coming down for the inquest. I'd have had something ready, some coffee or something," Susan Banks said briskly. "I don't want anything. I'm so sorry if I startled you." "Well, you know you did, in a way. It's very silly of me. I'm not usually nervous. In fact, I told the lawyer that I wasn't nervous, and that I wouldn't be nervous staying on here alone, and really I'm not nervous, only perhaps it's just the inquest and thinking of things, but I have been jumpy all this morning. Just about 30 minutes ago the bell rang, and I could hardly bring myself to open the door, which was really very stupid, and so unlikely that a murderer would come back, and why should he? And actually it was only a nun collecting for an orphanage, and I was so relieved I gave her 2 shillings, although I'm not a Roman Catholic, and indeed have no sympathy with the Roman Church and all those monks and nuns, although I believe the Little Sisters of the Poor really do good work. But do please sit down, Mrs. Banks. "Oh, yes, of course, Banks. Did you come down by train?" "No, I drove down. The lane seemed so narrow, I ran the car on a little way, and found a sort of old quarry I backed it into. This lane is very narrow, but there's hardly ever any traffic along here. It's rather a lonely road." Miss Gilchrist gave a little shiver as she said these last words. Susan Banks was looking round the room. "Poor old Aunt Cora," she said. "She left what she had to me, you know." "Yes, I know, Mr. Entwistle told me. I expect you'll be glad of the furniture. You're newly married, I understand, and furnishing is such an expense nowadays. Mrs. Lanskene had some very nice things." Susan did not agree. Cora had had no taste for the antique. The contents varied between modernistic pieces and the arty type.